fight on the way to church. He's doing a retreat. We'd still be here anyway. And I am doing part four of my series on identity. And our title today is Getting Cozy in God's Living Room. So I've been talking a lot about the heart of the Father, but I work with young adults, and we go to this amazing, beautiful church, and we don't always come from what we call the cookie-cutter backgrounds. And sometimes when you talk about Father God's living room, that's a hard picture. It's not always, doesn't feel like a safe place. So if maybe mama was a little safer for you, or maybe it was an auntie, maybe it was a grandmother, I want you to go to that living room with me right now. So when I go to my mom's living room, I got married in August, but when I go there, it still feels like my home away from home. So I used to live in an apartment that I did not have a washer and dryer. So every time I went to my mom's house, I was like, "Hey, mom!" And I brought all of my dirty laundry. And sometimes it's like 2 weeks worth, you know, when you're about the point of like turning things inside out, you know. And I just dump it all. And you know, so I leave it there. I wouldn't beg permission. You know, it's mom's house. You know, these are the rights and privileges of being a daughter. And I would immediately then, I mean, mom knows this. I'd dump the laundry and go straight for the fridge because my mom is an incredible cook and baker. And I go in there and I just pile up. I didn't even ask, like, can I get the good stuff? Like, everything in mom's house is good. So I go in there and I pile my plate just full of the good stuff. And I would sit down with my mom and we'd talk about our day, talk about our week. And I would cozy up on the couch, kick up my feet. And I wanted to know what was going on in my mom's life. What was on her thoughts and her mind and her adventures, and she wanted to know what was going on in mine. And we have this great two-way conversation. And, you know, if I was going through a hard time, my mom would give me encouragement and comfort. She would even challenge me to step out and do things I was, you know, needed some courage to do. We'd hang out, we'd laugh, we'd share stories. And, you know, sometimes we just enjoy the presence of company. And mom, this is mom's favorite part, because I have a hard time to stop talking. Surprise. Like, surprise. Anybody have a kid where they just go, blah, 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 blah? Okay, so sometimes we just enjoy the each other's company. And I'd sit there and flip through a magazine, read. We watched, you know, I'm obsessed with the Great British Baking Show. Love it. And just chill. Just hang out. And there's nothing like being in that home environment. And I say, and you might not have grown up in a place like that. And guess what? God has created a place like that for you. And he has given you church family. And there are wonderful adoptive aunties and uncles and grandmas and granddads that would love to be that for you. I just had to pick one that you can relate with. This is my mom. You know I'm not lying. She's not perfect, but she's a really safe place for me to this day. And, you know, I never give a second thought if I belong at my mom's house still. Even though I'm married, I got my own place. It's still my home away from home. Oh, I still have a garage door opener. Like, she's never asked for it back. You know, you'd still know. Like, Brad saw that after he got married. He's like, what is that? I was like, I still got the garage door open at mom's house. She loves me. you know, I'm her daughter, and I don't question if I belong there. I'm her daughter. And that's all I ever need to be. I come from four kids. We are all completely different. We've taken different paths, all made different mistakes. She loves us all the same, unconditionally. And, you know, even when my mom gives me the tough talks, and she does, because sometimes, how many of you need your mom to reel in sometimes? My mom's a good guardrail for me when I start going off a little in the wrong direction. But even when we have that tough correction talk, I know she has already forgiven me, even before I get the words out. Even before I'm like, I am so sorry, I was such a jerk. she's already forgiven me in her heart, but it's a good conversation to have. Why? Because it clears up that awkwardness. It clears off that, like, shame. You know people when they do someone wrong and then they avoid them? That's not a healthy relationship. A healthy relationship says, oh, wow, I really messed up. Okay, and let's just talk about it so we don't have that elephant in the room anymore, right? So this is an example of a healthy, loving relationship. And I'm so grateful that I have a parent like that. And like I said, if you don't, I'll tell you, I'm going to connect you with some great mamas and dads and aunts and uncles, big sisters, grandparents around here to get adopted in. Because that's our church family, right? All right, now I want you to imagine being invited into God's living room, right? I painted a picture with a relationship. I want to let you know that it is the same, if not even better. So let's just say you're invited over to God's living room. It is not a formal gathering like a church service. It is just a come hang out with him. come chill with him, come connect, come talk, come fellowship. And, you know, in that moment, you have God's full attention. I know he has millions of children all over the world. But in that moment, you have his full attention and all of his affection, because he is just so thrilled you're hanging out. Even if you're just sitting there with your eyes closed, did you know you can take a nap? People are like, every time I read the Bible, I fall asleep. Congratulations. Why? You ever read a story with your mom or your dad or your grandma and you fell asleep in their arms? They're just so happy that you're with them. I don't care if you get two scriptures in, you fell asleep in your Father God's arms. And that's meant to be a good, safe place. It's actually supposed to be the safest place in the universe. And he is not there to judge you, criticize you, point out all your flaws. He's just like, I just want to hang out. I just want to hang out. And at some point in this wonderful experience where you've been invited to hang out in God's living room, you find out it is not just a visit. He has invited you to stay permanently, because this loving Father wants to adopt you. And go back and listen to my last three messages. So he wants to adopt you because Jesus said, hey, my Father has a big house and I've gone to prepare a place for you. And it's not just a future reality, it's a present one. So John 14:2 in the Message Bible, Jesus said, trust me, it's good. Trust me, there is plenty of room for you in my Father's house. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are saying to you, make yourself at home here with us. I want you to cozy up in my presence, in my living room. And I want you to get refreshed. I want you to relax. I want you to kick back. I want you to rest. I want to say this. There's also no pressure in Father God's living room. You don't have to be anybody. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be your best self. And honestly, let's be honest. We're normally our worst self at our family's house. Real talk? Come on. Okay. You can lay it all out there. All right. You don't have to filter any thoughts on how you really feel with God. He does know your thoughts, but it's good to talk about them, okay? And you can experience not only God's love, but he delights in you. Did you know God's not mad at you? Did you know God is not mad at you? He absolutely is to the moon in love with you. Why am I spending time doing this? I have taken two pages of precious notes to paint a picture, because you guys need to see that just because an earthly broken relationship could have been toxic, could have been abusive, has nothing to do with the heart of our Father God and his Son, who is our big brother Jesus, and the comfort and the power and the love that is being expressed to us through the Holy Spirit. So when you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we move from a lost, unsaved orphan with no spiritual parent in chair number three, which we'll talk about, right? And we move directly to chair number one, seated with Jesus in heavenly places as co-heirs with Christ Jesus, sons and daughters. So our key scripture in our series, we're going to review it real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 7. And if this is like hard for you to understand, just read this every day. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7 in the Passion Translation, it says this, and his fullness fills you. There's nothing broken. There's nothing missing in your life. You are not broken. Did you know that? I feel broken. Guess what? You are whole and healed in Christ Jesus. You are not a victim. You have been restored. He loves you. I just want you to say this. Everybody say this. Jesus, thank you for restoring the love of the Father. Help me to have a revelation of how much he truly loves me. Out of this fullness, even though you were once in your past like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses in chair number three, he has made you alive. And it wasn't that long ago that you lived in chair number three, the religion, the customs, the values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm. That is Satan, his demons, and they're everywhere. You may not see them. Some people do. But guess what? You've been bought back out of that kingdom of darkness. They don't have the right to control you or torment you anymore. And if they are, you better tell it to go in Jesus' name. It's trespassing, has no right to be there. Says the religion, the customs, the value of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm, Satan and his demons. Number three, it says this, the corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life, the selfishness of our life, self-preservation. And we live by whatever natural cravings our thoughts, our minds dictated, living as rebellious children. But God, this is the best part, but God still loved us with such a great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins and shortcoming, he united us into the very life of Jesus Christ. And he saved us by his wonderful grace because we didn't deserve it. And he moved us straight up to chair number one. Chair number three to chair number one, okay? And it says, he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus. He raised us up with Christ and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated with Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable, immeasurable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ by providing for our redemption. There's the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the almost too good to be true news that you go, that sounds crazy. Yes, Jesus, I'll take it. Sign me up. I give my life to you. I believe in you. Now I'm going to stay seated in chair number one. It is so important to have a healthy relationship and an intimate, close relationship with our Father God and Jesus, his Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Three people in one, okay? And it's important to have this relationship where you can actually receive unconditional love, where you can hear his loving voice through the word. You know, some people read the word through the filter of the wrong filter, the voice of the enemy. Because, you know, Satan will even twist scripture. That's religion. And they go, when they read something, they hear condemnation, they hear judgment, they hear you're not good enough, God can never use you. Do you remember Paul? Do you remember the biggest jerk in the Bible? He was a murderer, he was as just twisted, religious, messed up, and God goes, I want to use you, and I want you, and I'm going to adopt you into my family, and we'll steal back 1,000 more. Let's write the New Testament together. Okay, so this is good news. He wants you to experience his presence and worship and praise. And he wants you to know his delight is in you and his joy is in you. When it says in the Bible, there's a scripture that says the Lord spins over us. It actually, this word rejoice means spins. That means you ever been so caught up in a football game that you jump and you shout and you like the belly bump thing? What do they call that? Chest bump, boom, you know, and you jump and you spin. I mean, you just caught up. That's how much he delights in you. That's my kid! Yeah! He came home! This is great! Okay, sorry, I know people are looking. Y'all, everybody stand up. Y'all need to wake up. Wake up. Stand up. Stand up. I woke up really early this morning. Okay, now if you can't stand up, it's okay. You can sit down. All right, now you can sit down. We just had to wake it up a little bit. I was getting a little glassy-eyed. The coffee's in the back. Okay. All right. Okay. So if you do not have the kind of relationship that I am describing, You are in the Father's house if you've given your life to Jesus, right? But we want to talk about why doesn't it feel like home? You are in the Father's family the moment you gave your life to Jesus. But you might be living with this old orphan mindset I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, where you are trying to work to earn a place in God's family, to feel like you belong. You are working really hard for love and significance in all the wrong places. And that never feeling good enough to receive that unconditional love, I'm telling you, we're uprooting that. So this orphan spirit is rooted in fear, insecurity, and scarcity, and it is always having to look out for itself. But I want to say this, if you have a revelation that you are a son and a daughter of God, you can be secure in that close relationship you have with God because you have a covenant. A covenant means a legal agreement that God is a good dad and he's going to protect you and provide for you no matter what the economy is screaming, no matter what the news is telling you to hoard, okay? So we don't have to panic about that. He's a covenant-keeping God. All of our needs are met according to the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Chair number two was never created by God. That's that chair right there in the middle. Remember, we go from, when we give our life to Jesus, we go from 3 to 1. But us dysfunctional... dysfunctional Christians that kind of get a skewed version of Father God because of our earthly fathers or parents that kind of messed that thing up. We don't feel worthy. We don't feel close. So we created chair number two. Chair number two is for everybody that is uncomfortable with receiving unconditional love. Chair number two is for everyone that is uncomfortable receiving God's covenant provision that he has for you by faith alone and not so you can work to earn it. Chair number two is for those that are uncomfortable receiving and bringing the full rights and privileges as sons and daughters of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, from heaven to earth. He wants to use little old you. Matthew 6, 9 through 11 says this, Our Father in heaven, everybody, you know, the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? Okay, and a translation of the Passion says this, it says, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means if it happens in heaven, if that's the standard in heaven, we can bring that down to earth because we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. The Passion Translation says, we said, manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth just as it is in heaven. We acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. Are you comfortable with saying God can use little old you to bring healing to people around you? God can use you to bring freedom, to bring love, to bring joy and peace to restoration around you. So get out of chair number two. We need you in chair number one because the harvest is ripe. There's great need. So chair number two is created by us dysfunctional Christians that are totally ruled by our emotions, that have not renewed our mind and kept that old orphan mentality. And we are so stuck looking back at our past, feeling unworthy, getting stuck in shame, that Jesus already nailed our past and nailed our shame to the cross 2,000 years ago. Beaten beyond human recognition, tortured to the point where he looked like an animal hung up in a butcher shop. That's what it says at the end of Isaiah 52. And if you are holding on to your shame and you are saying, I am not good enough, you said, Jesus, that wasn't enough. And you better deal with that. Is he enough for you? It's time to live like it. It's time to live in a place of that intimate fellowship, that closeness that Jesus bought back for us, and it's for right now. God's living room is open and available to all of his sons and daughters right now through faith, not because you're really good at being good, not for any other reason. You know, many people, we've heard that it's possible. We just don't know how to get there. It feels awkward when you open up your Bible. You know, worship. I know people that come late just so they can skip worship. I know. And they're like, oh, no, I have bad knees. I'm like, you can sit down and worship. That's okay. But they feel awkward expressing their love and receiving the love of God during worship. We're going to talk about today. I think a lot of us are unsure of our status with the Father. We know that we're sons and daughters of God in our brain. But we just don't know how excited and how enthusiastic he is when we're like, hey, God, you want to hang out? I know you're busy. You're probably really busy. And, I did really stupid things this weekend. I don't really feel like talking about it. It's a little awkward, actually kind of embarrassing. So maybe we'll just skip that part. I'll see you on Sunday. Okay, let's get catching up. You ever try to catch up with an awkward family member that you've had an awkward relationship with and you're just like, trying to find safe things to talk about? God, just talk about it all. Just like the word vomit that women are so good at. He's just happy you're hanging out. Why settle for chair number two with the old orphan mentality when it is so much better being cozy in God's living room? So what is missing? Why do we not feel at home? So this spiritual orphan's heart that we take with us because we haven't renewed our mind, it is always looking for security, affirmation, and love, acceptance, and value, purpose and significance outside of God's living room. We're looking for it everywhere else, but where it's like screaming. It's like flashing red sign. Hi, billboard every Sunday morning. Billboard when you actually read the word. Hey, you can get all that from me. You don't need to look for it for anyone else, anywhere else, and anything else. Why are we not experiencing this? Why are we striving and working so hard to become something that we already are? We're his sons. We're his daughters. And why are we so restless in striving? I want to say this because we live in this world, but we forgot we're not of it. Because this is an orphan world. And I'll tell you, when the world is shaking and all hell is breaking loose, oh, man. Man, do you know what orphans do? I'm trying to use the right words. Freaking out, is that okay? Like the one time it's kind of on that line. Okay. They're like panicking. They're hoarding macaroni and cheese, and your kid needs, it's the only two things they eat. They eat macaroni and cheese, and they make chicken nuggets, and someone took all of it. That is mean. And what do? We start acting like them. Because we forget, remember, orphans have this scarcity mentality. They forget they have a covenant with a good dad that says, hey, you don't have to take it all. I will provide for you. Orphan mentality is so caught up with all the what ifs. What if this happened? What if that happened? And they're just restless, and they're trying to like fix things and just control things and make things happen so they can just rest. I got a plan. Come on, y'all know this. You know how many people was damaged by that? Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the honesty. Okay. Because all of us are like, I was that person. That's okay. We love you. Okay. This restlessness that comes from the world, and I find a lot of Christians are restless. So how do we cut through all the noise? How do we run boldly through those? How do we just get out of our head and into the receiving the promises of God and his relationship with us? How do we, there's a transition here. Okay, Philippians 4, 6 through 9. It says, don't be pulled into different directions or worry about a thing. Be saturated in prayer. Prayer is a two-way conversation with God. Saturated in prayer, what does that mean? Just talk to him throughout your day, while you're driving, while you're at the grocery store, you know, while you're cleaning up around the house, while you're mowing the lawn. Talk to him. Be saturated in this prayer. Offer your faith-filled requests. So that doesn't mean begging God. It's an orphan mentality because you don't think you're worthy. Please, sir, I want some more. Please, will you provide for me? No. Okay, whatever you need, ask for it in faith. God's got me, okay? And it says, with overflowing gratitude. So how do you get out of this orphan mentality? I have this continual talking with God throughout the day. We have an ongoing conversation. Now, y'all have jobs. And you don't want to feel like the crazy person, you know, talking to themselves. So, you know, I get it. But, you know, you can stay mindful. You know, when you get that ugly email from your boss, all right, Lord, how do I respond to this? I just give this to you. Wow, that's accusation. That's accusation. That is the voice of Satan operating through my boss right now. Okay, all right, Lord, I just give it to you. You don't have to say that out loud. It might get you fired, but you can have that conversation with the Lord, right? And then when you need help, request it in faith, because remember, you're God's kid. You go, I got this laundry. I got all this dirty stuff going on in my life. Okay, thank you. God, I give it to you. And now we start thanking him in faith for what he's doing in our life. And if you don't see it yet, just thank him for who he is. God, thank you for saving me from hell. Thank you for loving me. Tell him, then it says, verse 7, every detail of your life. He doesn't get bored of it. He's just so glad you're having a conversation. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding, the peace that doesn't make sense, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Verse 8, it says, keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real and honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful. Ooh, respectful. Okay. All right, Lord, show me. Okay. How do I respect people that I don't respect? You're going to have to ask Jesus, how do you see them? Not as they are, but as they are called to be. Read that Bible, man. How Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego talked to a wicked and evil king that was about to murder them. Okay, so it's about language. You know, probably not. Oh, I'm not getting political. When I see the F-bomb on political signs, come on, guys. They ain't going to go to church with you. They don't want to go to your church. Real talk. Okay. Sorry, I'm just going there. We're going to work on our hearts, God. Okay. Pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Put into practice the example of all that you have heard from me or seen in my life, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. So this word peace, do you know what the word shalom means? Maybe, does anybody have someone that was a friend of Jewish descent? They've heard the term shalom. Shalom means wholeness. Yeah, it means nothing broken, nothing missing. How many people want to receive that right now? There, I am whole. I am not a victim. Uh-uh. I am whole. There is nothing broken in my life. There is nothing missing in my life. And I rest in that peace. You know, I have a girls' small group, and I can't tell you, like I said, we have a super normal group, come from normal families in the world, and a lot of them go around saying that I don't have a dad in my life, or sometimes, like, I have a really unhealthy mom in my life, and what do I do? You know, is there something missing, or they've passed away, and I'm grieving them? Is there anything missing? Maybe they were raised by their grandparent, and that's the closest thing to a healthy parent they ever had, and they're gone, and just this brokenness, and I'm going, there is nothing. Just because people are missing in your life, just because a healthy relationship is missing in your life, you are not broken. You are not a victim. Jesus fills us and heals us all in all. He makes us healed and whole in him. And I can have peace and rest in that no matter what my story was. I'm his healthy kid now. That is good news. John 16:33, Jesus said, "And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me." Peace and confidence comes from resting in me. Okay, Sherry, how do you do that? We're going to get to that. Hang with me. "For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble." So how many people signed up for this perfect candy-coated Christian thing? It doesn't exist. Read your Bible. You were promised trouble, tribulation. The world will be shaking around you. It might look like it's going to hell in the handbasket, okay? But it says if I have peace and confidence when I rest in Jesus despite what's going on in the world around me. Okay, all right, I'm gonna keep reading. "You will experience trouble, tribulation, sorrows, but be courageous, take courage, for I have conquered the world." That means read the end of the story. We win. No matter how bad it is, and I'm tired of the projections. All you doom and gloomers, just go away. I'm not an idiot. I know. I just don't want to talk about it all the time. I'm educated. But guess what? No matter where we're at, I read the end of the story, and we win. Right? And my peace and my confidence in the character and nature of Jesus Christ, my confidence is not in the government. My confidence is in Jesus Christ and the covenant that I have with him. And I can rest no matter what the stock market is, no matter how many people are fired at work, no matter how much the price of milk is these days. Gee whiz. Okay. I can rest. Whew, he's good and he's got me and I can trust him in it. All right. Matthew 11:28 says, "Are you weary carrying all this stuff?" Oh man, how many people got some dirty laundry? Everybody else just shove it in the closet. God just says, throw it open, bring it to his house, he'll clean it all up. Okay, are you weary? I had to get help carrying all this stuff. This is legitimate things from my house. It's fine. No, I do laundry. I'm a good wife. as an example, everything is clean but this basket, which I'm holding closely. Okay, my husband's a hardworking man. Praise God. "Are you weary carrying a heavy burden? Come to me and I will refresh your life. I am your oasis. I will give you rest." We were created to rest in chair number one. Everybody got that? Chair number one. We are created to rest with that Abba Father, Daddy God in his living room. The world in chair number three and most of the church in chair number two are too busy working hard to have a few moments of rest, but in this constant cycle of restlessness. So I'm going to say this. We were designed and created for chair number one. And you go, but I'm not resting. So you need to get really clear that I am a son and a daughter of God, not in your brain. You probably need to hang out with him and find out that you've received love, joy, peace, comfort, patience by faith. If God says I can have it, I have it, I receive it by faith, even if I don't feel it. I'm going to blow through some notes here because I got places to go. Raise your hand if you understand the chair number one, two, and three. Raise your hand, you got it? Okay. Go back and listen to my messages. I'm going to skip a page of notes. You cool with that? All right. Reviewing. All right. So it is all about receiving Father God's love and gifts without having to perform for it. And we have to work really, really hard to enter into his rest. How many people have a hard enough time just working hard to sit down and rest? So my mom works for fun. She's fantastic. I'm like number one fan is my mom. But like sitting down is hard for, like, people come in town, like my family, and she's like, let's have fun, let's just do work around the house, and let's mulch, it'll be so much fun, let's mulch together. How many people are one of those people? I love you, because this is how we get stuff done in society, okay? But how many people have a hard time resting? You're a go, 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 go person, okay? All right, that's okay, God created you that way, and he'll use it for his glory, but I'll tell you, rest is a heart set. It's not just a mindset, it's a heart set, okay? So when we work hard to rest, I want to say this. How many people know this? My mom would fight for the lawnmower. Why? Because it was so, she could just turn off four kids and just blast some music or sometimes no music. And it was, how many people like the white noise of a lawnmower where you can't hear anybody bicker and complain? And she was working unto the Lord with the Lord. She wasn't working for it. She's with him, but she's doing things. But she is resting in his presence. Okay, so people that are parents or you, listen, I know I have young adults that are juggling two jobs, working nights. They are exhausted. And you have to learn to rest with him. So, and I won't go too hard in it, but there is a physical rest, right? And then there is that spiritual heart rest. And we are commanded to do both. We're going to talk about how to do it. All right, let's see here. Hebrews 4, 10 through 11 says, for the one who has once entered his rest has also rested from the weariness and pain of human labors. Let us therefore make every effort to rest, to enter into the rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves. There is a resting place in Father God's living room where his family members can come boldly and experience extravagant love and total acceptance. Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly with all your laundry, with all your problems, all your crazy, okay? Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace, that is divine empowerment, to be who God has called you to be. Not to stay in sin, but to break free from it. Because the chains were already broken at the cross 2,000 years ago. Okay, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. It is time to stop looking for love, joy, peace, and rest outside. Because guess where it is? Everybody put your hand on your heart. Inside. I heard a guest speaker say this week, I can't remember which one, but he said this, you know, I don't feel close to God. You know, people say, I don't feel close to God. Okay, the Bible says when we have given our lives to Jesus, we are in him. You cannot get any closer than in him. Does that, I was like, that's tattoo worthy. Oh my gosh, I am in him. I am as close as you can possibly get. Tell your feelings to shut up and just like listen to the word of God. He loves you. He is not mad at you. You are his happy thought. When he thinks about you, you're his kid. Even when we do dumb stuff. And I always do the example of like, you know, kids do really dumb, dirty things. Normally with poop, it's like, hey, look what I got. Ooh, running on the wall. I think Mandy was telling me, what did the girls do? They put like, there was mud? What was it? They just came. No, it was paint. Sidewalk. Yeah. She gave them some paint and they went outside and like covered all of them head to toe in just paint. They were supposed to like paint a canvas. They were supposed to paint a canvas and they just painted themselves a mess. And then I want hugs, right? Every kid that's ever jumped in a puddle wants to hug you afterwards. Mud and all. Okay. All right. He loves this period. Okay. So where was that? Okay. Outside. It's an inside job. Happiness. Miserable people. Guys, I was a miserable Christian for probably a good 10 years feels really long, but I'd say at least a solid 5 to 6. Miserable. I was so tired of being sick and tired and being miserable that I finally just received all God had for me. Okay. I just had to get over myself. But happiness is an inside job. So stop looking to the people around you to make you happy. That will save you hundreds of dollars in marriage therapy. Hundreds of dollars. Do not look to your spouse or your children to make you happy. It will pressure and break that relationship. Happiness, or let's go this, joy, is an inside job. It will only be found in him. All right, where am I? Okay, let's see here. I'm going to blow through notes because we're going to worship at the end here. We got John 15:4-6 in the Amplified Bible says this, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in and being vitally united to the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Anybody have some temporary satisfaction, temporary love, temporary joy, temporary peace? It doesn't last unless you stay vitally united to him, connected to him as your source. Because I tell you, the people around you will do nothing but disappoint you. Did you know pastors are really good at disappointing people? I heard another speaker say, you know what leadership is? How many people are in leadership? You're a manager, you know, you might be a business owner, okay? Ministry director, leadership is getting really good at disappointing people. So when you do it, just, I'm so sorry. Ask for forgiveness from your heart. Find something legit to apologize for. Don't lie, okay? Just, I'm sorry I disappointed you. Okay. Happiness is an inside job, so you're going to have to get that satisfaction from Jesus himself, okay? All right, so, all right, when we're able to live from this resting place, you will be fruitful no matter what the circumstances are. When the world around you is shaking, still is, it's been shaking for a long time, but it just really got a little crazy. Have you ever seen a shake weight? You know, just people are just nuts right now, okay? So I say this, Jesus slept in the boat. Do you remember this? You can go read it later because we don't have time. Matthew 8, 24 through 27. There is a storm raging and everybody thinks they're going to die. The sky is falling for 2.5 years at this point. Okay, everybody thinks they're going to die. Ah, they're panicking. They're hoarding macaroni and cheese. And where's Jesus? Jesus, where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? He is resting in the bottom of the boat and he is sleeping. Because the storm outside Jesus had to bow to the peace inside of him. The storm outside of you has to bow to the peace of Jesus Christ inside of you. And whatever you receive by faith, you will fill up to overflow to give and bring to the world around you. We are to bring peace. We are to bring love to the people around us at work, to the people around us at our school, in our neighborhood. So we have talked about, you know, I'm going to blow through notes. It's just fun. Just skipping notes. We will experience difficulties in this world, right? John 10:10, Jesus reminded us, hey, there is Satan, there are his demons, okay? And the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the god of this world. Why can't we just blame him because he gets all the blame and stop blaming God because it writes better on a sympathy card. Hey, I'm really sorry you lost Lord, I don't want to be sarcastic. I hate certain Hallmark cards that are to bring comfort and they bring God into it and blame God. They just need another angel in heaven. Oh, the Lord's ways are higher. No, like Satan literally killed their family member in a horrific way. Cancer is, I lost my dad to cancer. It was the most horrific thing to watch. The most brilliant man I've ever met slowly die painfully and go from one of the most brilliant men to like probably about a five-year-old mentally, and then his organs shut down. My Jesus didn't do that. I don't want your card. Oh, God's ways are higher than ours. That is not my God. I won't serve him. Sorry. Because we're uncomfortable talking about Satan and demons. Oh, it just feels weird. They might show up. He's here. We just don't see him. Okay, whatever. We cool? You got that? So when someone says that, will you just interrupt them right away? And just make sure that we're blaming the right one here? All right. It says this, that Jesus said, but I came that they might have and enjoy. God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to rest. He wants you to take a vacation. This is where you can elbow your spouse. We need to take a vacation. Even if it's a staycation. Maybe you just go to Lancaster and, you know, look at buggies and stuff. Eat ice cream. Everything's great when you eat ice cream, right? Okay. Okay. You are to enjoy a satisfying life and have it in abundance to the fullest, to the point where it overflows. That is what Jesus is saying. So I want to talk about this. We talked about resting on the lawnmower. You can rest when you're changing diapers. You know, it is all about staying vitally connected with him, having an internal dialogue or even an external dialogue, and resting in him and giving these burdens and the dirty laundry to him. So we have to learn how to work from a place of rest rather than towards rest. So I don't have to work really, 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 really hard so I can finally just rest to do nothing. I need to rest with Jesus and his promises, right? I'm working from rest. You'll get way more done and you won't burn out. And you'll probably be nicer, just to be honest with you. And people are like, I'm busy. I got tons of stuff to do. Everybody is. I'm so tired of this excuse because everybody thinks they're the busiest person in the world. tell me you're the busiest person in the world, and I will introduce you to someone that is more busy than you. Just straight up. Are people tired of that? Like, hey, do you want to come over for dinner one day? Just hang out, be friends. Oh, I'm super busy. You're too busy for friends. That's an excuse. You're insecure. You don't want people in your laundry. Okay, get over it. All right. I'm busy. Busy is a mindset. You'll always be busy. It was fascinating who got busy over pandemic. You know, as soon as we went green, they just signed up their kids for 50 bazillion sports. And all they do is drive their kids around sports. Oh my gosh, because they need to be overachievers and change the world. And I'm just like a mean mom going to the next soccer event. I am so tired. Oh my gosh, we haven't been on a date in forever. Okay, maybe we need to take some things off your plate a little bit. All right, we're gonna go there. Yes, we're going to go there. Save me some counseling. All right. All right, so how do we do this? How do we hang out in God's living room? How many people are practical people and just like some steps? So we're just going to go practical, okay? Okay. Let's see here. Okay. So number one, you have to create space and don't rush it. So how many people have traditions before they go to sleep at night and they always watch a show? You know, or they eat ice cream. Brad and I watch shows and eat ice cream. It's been great. This fits. This is one of the five outfits in my life that spit. It's because of ice cream in my life. It's great. Okay, so we have traditions, right? We carve out time for our traditions. Can we carve out some time for God? Create some space. And I'll say this, throw on some worship music because it just sometimes deadens the whining, complaining. Listen, how many people got kids? We love our kids, but it's hard to focus when I try to talk to you. My mom would lock herself in the bathroom. Just 5 minutes. Just like, hey, Jesus, this is really hard. Being a parent is really hard. Okay. All right. Put on some worship music and start just thanking him. It says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. God, just thank you. Thank you. If you can't thank him because all hell's breaking loose, God, thank you for saving me from hell because this is the closest to hell I'll ever get in life. Did you know this is as close to hell as you're ever going to get? Everybody clap. That is good news. This is the worst it's ever going to get, okay? Because one day we are going to die at very ripe old ages, not from disease. We are just going to wake up on the other side. That's the way God created it to be. Just wake up on the other side being greeted by our loved ones, okay? This is the worst it's ever going to get. It's just part of this. Well, let's just have an adventure in the meantime. Let's just kick Satan in the teeth over and over again because I get a rise out of it. I really get a rise out of just like shoving it right back at him and stealing people from hell and like hanging out with people and talking about Jesus. I love it. I was like, take that, Satan. Ha-ha! You think you mess with me? Ha-ha! I'll get you 100-fold for that one. It's our only adventure. So have some fun and rest and be about the Father's business. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, lay hands on the sick and expect to see them recover, right? Cast out demons, raise the dead. I haven't done the last one yet, but I'm believing God, okay? Because this is the adventure. And if he said it, we can do it in greater works, okay? All right, so number one, okay, create space. Don't rush it. Put on some worship music. Start just thanking him. Thanking him. Step away from your self-centered laundry list. This is all about me. These are all of our stuff. These are just rags. By the way, they're clean rags. I'm not that dirty. Okay, whatever. And you go, okay, this is, when we go into prayer, we go with our laundry list where it's all about us. God, I need you to do this for me, this for me, this for me, this for me, this for me. Take care of this person and that person and blah, 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 blah. And this person's driving me nuts. And all we do is we talk about what we want to talk about. How many people love that phone call? Because you normally like, oh, no, busy. The person that all they do is talk about themselves. Leave your laundry list and just say, I want to have a two-way conversation with God. And I'm just saying, hey, Lord, what is on your heart? What's on your mind right now? What do you want to talk to me about? And then crack open this thing called a Bible. Please get a physical one. They are free in the back. Why? God can talk to you through your phone app, but it's really hard and distracting with a billion notifications. Struggles are real. The song set, like I can look it up on my phone, but what happened was I'm checking my phone the whole time to like not miss my cue. I said, can you just give me a sticky note again? Because the phone's so distracting, right? Crack open your Bible and go, Lord, what do you want to talk about today? Okay? And if you don't know where to go, just go in the New Testament. It's easier to understand through the blood of Jesus, okay? And then go read until something just almost like it jumps off the page and go, that is for me. That's for my situation. By the way, read the Bible for you before you read it for someone else. Because those people that all they do is correct you through the word of God. I was like, what's God talking to you about lately? Okay. Next step, ask how you can encourage, build up, comfort someone. Not you're doing everything wrong. Okay. So look for a scripture that stands out to you. Ask him, what do you want me to do with that, Lord? How can I apply that to my life? Can I encourage someone else with it? That's when you forward it to someone else, right? So Matthew 6, 33 through 34 says this. So above all, constantly seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things on your laundry list are going to get done. I took advantage of it later when I figured it out. But okay, so I'm busy because we're all busy. There are probably 75% of this congregation busier than me. But we're all busy, right? So I'm in the middle of doing laundry at mom's house. And Mom, I got to go. I got to do this thing. You know, I got to go like a youth event or have a date with Brad. I'll come back and I'll finish it. I'll come back. Don't worry. Okay. Mom's like, yeah, sure. Guess what she'd do? She would do all my laundry for me. I'm a grown woman. Sometimes I tell her, I say, Mom, you don't have to do that. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Thank you. Okay. When you seek God first and you talk about what he wants to talk about and you pray for the people that he wants you to pray for and not your laundry list, if it's all about me, he'll do your laundry. It'll just all get done. Why? Because we sought him first. What? How many were Revelation? Revelation. Leave your laundry at mom and dad's house and they just do it. Okay. All right. You're going to Pastor D's house. You're going to see it on the front door. Laundry. Hey, I'm about the work of the ministry. Thanks, Pastor D. Okay. I'm very good at folding, though. I'm very good at folding. All right. I actually found this out from the lady I used to nanny for, because anytime there was laundry left and I would do my own laundry, I would do hers with me. I would just always do it, and to the point where she just would always leave it in there because I'd do her laundry. So, you know, God does it. All right, above all, constantly seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be given to you abundantly. That means more than you even expect. Okay. Refuse then to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Can you just stick within your one day and not all the what ifs? How many people besides yourself, besides me, have conversations with yourself of all the what ifs late at night? Normally, it used to be 2 in the morning. Now it's like 4:30 in the morning. Oh my gosh, wake up and just solving all the world's problems in my brain. Tell my brain to be quiet. I also don't drink caffeine after like 2 o'clock in the afternoon anymore. Okay, so stay in the present. Tomorrow will take care of itself. God will take care of it. Leave it at the feet of the Jesus. If you wake up at 4:30 in the morning with a problem, pray about it and just give it to God. Fall asleep muttering over and over, and God, I give it to you. I give it to you. You're way better at doing laundry than I am. You got it, okay? So two-way conversations. Don't talk about your laundry list. Active listening is about leaving your antenna up. That means God doesn't want to just talk to you at church. He wants to talk to you all the time. He wants to talk to you at Walmart when you're busy and rushing, and he wants you to talk to the person beside you, even if they think you're crazy. So that means we don't turn the switch on and off when it's convenient for us. Do you know we don't turn our switch on and off to be sons and daughters of God? So we're always looking out for other orphans, right? Keep your switch up. Keep your antenna up. He will talk to you in different ways. And you know what? I always thought I wasn't spiritual. Just to be real, like my youth group had way more spiritual people than me. You know, they're awesome. And I just loved people. Just generally, I just like people. So if there was a new kid or a new girl, I wanted them to sit beside me and I wanted to introduce them all around. Miss Denise does this. You know, you just there's someone new and I want them to feel accepted and loved. I want them to not feel on the outside. I want them to feel on the inside. That's what pastors are to do. I just didn't know. But I didn't know, like I always thought God was having to talk through an external voice or be really, really loud. And what I found out later is God just talks to me in different ways, and he's going to talk to you in different ways. The number way he talks to us is through scripture. So you got to put it in you so he can bring it to your remembrance and talk to you. God would talk to me in little fuzzy daydream pictures. I found a statistic this week that 50% of, we daydream 50% of our day. 50% of our day, we are not present. Well, God will use that. To be absent in body is present with the Lord. To not be currently at work, you know, is I'm with the Lord. Okay, so give God your daydreams. God, what do you want to dream about? And I would get these fuzzy daydreams. I get words of knowledge for healing now. It's really cool. It's like, why am I seeing a pancreas? I don't even know what it does. Okay, God wants to heal it. I don't know. So it's a new thing to me right now. So it's a foreign thought. It's like, why am I thinking about this person? I haven't hung out with them since the 5th grade. Why do I keep thinking of them? Well, go find them on Facebook. And I'm not saying you have to stalk them, but just be, hey, I was thinking about you. You want to get together for coffee? Or, hey, how's your week going? And then like, hey, how can I pray for you? That's God getting your attention. He might even talk to you through an object. I don't have time to teach it. Remember Moses, there was this burning bush? Super obvious. Hey, God wants to have a conversation with you. But there might be something, all of a sudden, you know, maybe you're cleaning up your kid's room and you pick up, I don't know, you pick up an object and God reminds you of a scripture that matches that up. Maybe you're picking up his, I love Star Wars. Anybody else like the lightsaber? You picked up your kid's lightsaber and God says, get your sword up. Well, God, what are you talking about? Go finish the conversation with him. He'll talk to you in different ways. Isn't that kind of fun? So this is the adventure. All right. Okay. All right. I need to land the plane. I need to land the plane. Woo! All right. Thank you, Jesus. Where am I going? All right. So we have to have two kinds of rest. Both are important. You have to have rest and peace of mind. And you have to carry all your situations to him and leave it with him, right? So you can be extremely busy and still have internal peace, right? Staying connected with him. We have to have physical rest, okay? That means pause and take a break, carve out space, turn off the noise, turn off the chaos, take a vacation. But don't take a vacation from Jesus. If you don't read your Bible on your vacation, you're in an idol. You're escaping. Escaping is idolatry. He wants to go on a vacation with you. He wants to go to the beach with you and all of your family. And he just wants to have conversations on the beach. So talk to him. Rest with him. All right, so I want to do this. We're gonna stay, everybody stand up. And worship team, get ready to play the song that was so cool. I said, Nev, that's the perfect song. He's like, I already knew that was the song. So thank you, Holy Spirit. We're going to do an exercise called prayer, okay? And I want to give you a little example of what I want. I want you to examine what's on your plate in life. Because if you are really having a hard time resting, but you got the whole identity thing down, you're like, Sherry, I know I'm a son. I know I'm a daughter. I'm not like wrestling with a sense of unworthiness. I don't need to earn God's love or attention. I'm just so tired all the time. Just so tired. When I open up my Bible, I can't focus. I'm exhausted. We're going to look what's on your plate. Okay, so I want you to imagine a dinner plate in front of you. Everybody close your eyes. All right. And I want you to imagine a dinner plate. And God puts on your dinner plate your favorite meal. So like, I don't know if it's tacos or pizza, roast beef. Maybe you're a sushi person, lamb. Okay. All right. And so this is, so in front of you is a dinner plate. And this represents God's assignment for you. And you don't have to, you can actually hold back on the music just a little bit, real quietly, just so they get this picture and then we'll jump in. This is God's assignment for you. And he is putting certain foods on your plate. But guess what happens? These are all good things, and they start out being a God thing. But then other things get put on your plate by other people around you. Oh, you're going to like this. You know, oh, have this. How many people go to a family event, and everybody puts their side dish on your plate because they want you to eat their Brussels sprouts? And, oh, those aren't the good ones. Those are the steamed ones. Those are terrible. Oh, sure, thanks. Okay, absolutely. Because we have a hard time saying no. Because we're people pleasers. But, you know, if you get too many good things on your plate and they're not a God thing, here's what happens. You're going to put on weight. And if you start eating a plate that is too full, that is not what God has for you, over and over, week after week, you're going to put on so much weight that it will inhibit you from doing certain activities that you're called to do. Like run after your kid, take your kid on a bike ride. You're like, are you kidding me? You know? So when we have too many things on our plate, we put on weights, we put on burdens, and it actually keeps the good things keep you from the God thing, and you'll stop completing your assignment. You might be like, Pastor Sherry, I don't even know what my assignment is. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, lay hands on the sick and see them recover. If a demon gets your way, you say, get out of here in Jesus' name. I got stuff to do. Okay, you might, resurrection life, whether it be a physical one, spiritual one, an emotional one, that is our assignment. Wherever you are, you might be called to be a nurse, a teacher, have a mom's group. You might be called to build a business and give all the glory. These are our assignments. But if you can't do your God assignment because there's too much on your plate, we need to clear our plate. And this is what you do. You go, Lord God, what is on my plate that is not for the now season? You know, sometimes God gave you an assignment and you've been doing the same assignment for 20, 30 years and it's actually old manna. It's actually an old assignment. Well done, my good and faithful servant, but you stuck there because it's comfortable. You stuck there because it's comfortable and God's trying to do something new, but we're too insecure to do the new thing. Behold, Isaiah 43, I am doing a new thing. You need to create space for it. God told me I was going to meet my husband in the fall. I met with Nevin. I said, Nevin, I got to clear my plate because God is bringing a man of God into my life and I need to create space for him. And I totally changed everything in the youth department. It was hard. It was my baby. Everything I did, I loved it. It got great fruit, but I go, God, I got to create space for the next thing. And God started to show me. I started praying with my youth leaders for a couple months and we moved some things off the plate. We delegated some things out, and guess what? Things got really healthy. And here's the other thing. It blessed other people and brought out leadership in other people because you need to take something off your plate because that is a blessing for someone else. That was your old season, and God wants to raise up the next Joshua, but you're going to have to let it go. That's my baby. They might ruin it, probably. But is it yours or is it God's? But you need to clear your plate for the new thing. It's time to rest. And I'm starting a conversation with you now that I want you to finish at home with Jesus, but while we sing this song. All right. Go ahead, worship team. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, wherever you go, we're going. Whatever you say, we're saying. We're sticking with you. We don't quit. We know we win in the end. But Lord, we're going to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit right now. Whatever he is speaking to you that says, that's a good thing, but it's not the God thing. That's the old season, but I got a new thing for you. This is what your new assignment is. Be obedient. Do you fear God? Or do you fear people? Well, what are they going to say when I resign from this thing? What do they say when I step off this committee? What do they say when I say I can't? I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what they say. It matters what he says. So I'm going to be real with you. If you fear people more then you honor and reverence the voice of the Lord, we got a problem in our lives. And I'm going to say this, we're not going to end on the problem. We are not here to serve people. We're here to serve God. What assignment does he have for you in this new season? Go do it and go tell somebody so we can cheerlead for you and we can also slap someone's wrist when they're trying to put something on your plate that doesn't belong there. No, that's not your assignment. Hey, say no. Put boundaries up with a smile. All right, we love you guys. You are loved. We're family. Go hang out. I'll see you next Sunday. It's Mother's Day.